Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the Day of Redemption as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 15. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
The world still is under satanic control. The world is still in subjection to Satan, under Satan's rule. All creation is still groaning and travailing, waiting for this day of the manifestation of the sons of God. This day of redemption, we look forward to it. Now in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, as John is taken into the heavenly scene, he sees the throne of God. He sees the elders on their lesser thrones around the throne of God. He sees the glassy sea before the throne of God. He sees the cherubim as they are there. He hears them as they worship God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and which is to come." And he watches the 24 elders at this point as they fall on their faces, take their golden crowns, and cast them before this glassy sea, which is before the throne of God. And he hears them declare, "Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor, for thou hast created all things, and for your good pleasure they are and were created." Then as you move into chapter 5, he sees in the right hand of him who is sitting upon the throne, a scroll that is sealed with seven seals, writing both within and without. All right, now here you have the thing with Jeremiah here, making these scrolls and sealing one and leaving another one open. The instruments, the title deeds for the property. And he has the scroll sealed with seven seals. And the angel proclaims with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to take these scrolls and to loose the seals?" In other words, who can redeem the earth so that it again becomes God's? And no man was found worthy in heaven, in earth, under the sea, to take the scroll or to loose the seals. And I, John, began to sob convulsively because no one was found worthy to do this. Why is John so upset? Why is he sobbing like that? Because if no one redeems the earth at this point, it remains in Satan's control forever. And the thought of that is more than John can bear. But the elder said unto me, "Don't weep, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. He's going to take the scroll and open the seals." And John said, "I turned and I saw him as a lamb that had been slaughtered. And he came forth and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him that is sitting upon the throne. And when he did, the elders came forth with golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb to take the scroll and loose the seals thereof, for he was slain and has redeemed us by his blood out of all of the nations, people, tongues, and tribes, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign with him on the earth.'" And then there was 100 million angels plus millions of others who joined in saying, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and dominion and mights and authorities and thrones and power," and so forth. That glorious day when the kingdoms of this world will again become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And the earth is restored and we see what God intended when he created the earth and placed man upon it. As we live together in peace and in love and in harmony and in righteousness, when all commercial systems are put away and man lives as God intended him to live, every man neath his vine and fig tree and me under my coconut. So, this little insight here into Jeremiah is interesting because it gives you an insight into this law. But one extra little facet here, which I find quite interesting, is that most generally under the Jewish law, of course, Jesus then takes the scroll and he begins to open the seals and the judgment comes. And then he comes in chapter 10, the scroll is open. He puts one foot upon the sea and one foot upon the earth. And he says, the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He lays claim to that which he purchased with his blood. The interesting thing to me is that generally, the pattern was 6 years of servitude and the seventh year set free. And it was just about 6,000 years ago now that Adam went into the servitude of sin and Satan. We are coming very, very close to the 7,000th year. The time of redemption is at hand. I mean, look at it. Now, just when it was that Adam fell, we do not know for sure. One chronology, Bishop Usher, has it figured about 4004 BC. But we don't want to really be date setters as such, but just know that we're getting close. The time and the seasons, we do know. And man has just about had it. 6,000 years is about all we can take. We've about done as much damage as we can possibly do without destroying now ourselves. And the Lord's going to intervene, and he's going to establish his kingdom, a kingdom that will never end. So it's fascinating to read Jeremiah here and to realize the significance of the scroll, of the laws of redemption, and of the kinsman redeemer, whereas Jeremiah became the kinsman redeemer. Shalom couldn't redeem his own property. Jeremiah stepped in and redeemed it for him. Man can't redeem himself. Jesus stepped in and redeemed us. Jesus redeemed the world and us as his children. Now when I delivered, Jeremiah says, this evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, now Jeremiah is still troubled by this. Lord, it's stupid for me to buy this. Now, why should I do it? Ah, Lord God, behold, you've made the heaven and the earth by your great power, and you've stretched your stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Now, I think it's valuable to study the prayers in the Bible. And this prayer of Jeremiah is a valuable one to say. Notice how he begins his prayer. Oh, Lord God, you've created everything, and there is nothing too hard for you. Oh, what a glorious way to begin a prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The disciples followed this pretty much in their prayer in, Oh, Lord, thou art God. Thou hast created the heaven and earth and everything that is in them. It's good when you start to pray to, in your addressing of God, to sort of remind yourself of who you're talking to. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. Remember that when you pray. You show loving kindness unto thousands, and you recompense the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. You are the great and the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is your name. You are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open upon all of the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And you have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and Israel, and among other men, and you have made thee a name as at this day. And you've brought forth your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror. And you have given them this land which you did swear to their fathers to give them, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they did not obey your voice, nor did they walk in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have caused all of this evil to come upon them. And behold, now the Babylonians have these machines out there, those mounts, and they are coming against the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence that you have spoken. This has come to pass, and behold, we are seeing it. You said there'd be the sword, the pestilence, famine, and God, we see it. And now, Lord, you say to me to buy this field. You're so smart, and you've done all of these things, but God is stupid to buy that field. You know, because the Babylonians have it. And you said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take the witnesses for the city. For the city is given into the hand of Chaldeans. Why would I buy it when it's all going to fail? So it's interesting, he doesn't get to his complaint until he goes through quite a long prayer. He doesn't rush right in with the complaint, but he, talks about the greatness and the power of God and all, and then he finally gets down to the real issue. God, you've done all this, and now you tell me to buy this field? When the Chaldeans have already taken the place? And so the Lord spoke to him and said, behold, I am the Lord. And God picks up something from Jeremiah. He said, I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah said, Lord, you are God. There's nothing too hard for you. And God is saying, is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city to the hand of Chaldeans, under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He'll take it. The Chaldeans that fight against the city shall come and set fire to the city. They'll burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense to Baal and poured out their drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. Now, all of those houses over there are flat roofs, and the people's patios are all out on the roofs of their houses. You see ladies scrubbing the roofs of their houses. It's a very interesting thing. You go over there today, and so many flat roofs, and you see the ladies out there scrubbing the roofs as their family areas. And in that day, people were offering sacrifices unto the false gods, pouring out the drinks to the false gods there in the roofs of their own houses. Lord said, I'm going to burn them. For the children of Israel, the children of Judah, have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the works of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of my anger and my fury from the day that they built it, even to this day that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all of the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned unto me their backs and not their face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, and yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. They've even set up in the temple abominations. They've built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, Gehinnom there, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. They've burned their children in the fires to appease the god Molech, which I did not command them, neither did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning this city whereof you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all of the countries whither I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in my great wrath. Now God is saying, yes, this is going to happen, but this is the future. Behold, I will in the future gather them out of all of the countries, whether I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in my great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon the people, so will I bring upon them all of the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof ye say it is desolate without a man or beast. It is given into the hand of Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe the evidences and seal them and take the witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains, the cities of the valley, and the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. So God is saying, all right, now don't worry about it, Jeremiah. They're going to come back and the land is going to be theirs. I'm going to fulfill also my promise to bring them back again. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker, the Lord that formed the earth to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Well, now he's just been calling unto the Lord. But God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So here is God's invitation, challenge to Jeremiah, call unto me. The promise is, if you will call unto me, I will answer. Now, this is after he has been calling. You say, well, I've been praying about it. He had been praying about it, but then God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which you know not. Glorious promise of God, a promise in prayer. If you'll just call upon the Lord, he will show you great and mighty things. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword, they come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with dead bodies of men whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury, for all of whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and honor before all of the nations of the earth, which shall hear of all of the good that I will do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all of the goodness and for all of the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord again, there shall be heard in this place, which you say shall be desolate without man and without a beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and without inhabitant, without a beast. There will be here the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. So God's promises now of restoration of the nation Israel. It's going to happen. God has said, I'm going to do it. This land that you say is desolate, it's going to be filled with voices of joy and happiness, voices of the bridegroom and of the bride, voices of praise unto the Lord as they come into the temple again, offering the sacrifices of praise. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place which is desolate without man, without beast, and all the cities thereof shall be the habitation of shepherds that will cause their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, the cities of the valley, and in the cities of the south, the land of Benjamin, and all the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And in those days, and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in this land. Who is that branch of righteousness growing up out of David? Jesus Christ. So he's talking about when Christ comes again and establishes the kingdom, that God is going to cause the nation Israel to be again in the land and to be nurtured by the Lord. In those days shall Judah be saved. Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests and the Levites want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meal offerings and to do sacrifice continually. Wait a minute. Why are they having sacrifices after Christ's return? Wasn't Christ sacrificed once and for all? Yes, for our sins. Notice there's no mention here of sin offerings. That has been fully taken care of. But the burnt offerings were offerings of consecration, where you would bring a lamb unto the priest, and they would butcher it, and then they would barbecue it, and the priest would take that part for him and for the Lord, and then you sit and feast on the rest of it. But the parts of it they would offer, the fat and all, they would offer and burn up to the Lord as a burnt offering unto God, which was a offering of consecration. God, I consecrate my life to you. And it's just a offering of fellowship with God as I just give my life to you, God. And the eating of it signifies that oneness with God and the fellowshipping with God. So the meal offering, the same thing. It was just an offering of fellowship. No more sin offerings. That has been complete. But during the kingdom age, there will be offerings in Jerusalem. We'll be going there for big barbecues and having a great time as we offer the sacrifices and as we sit and eat with the Lord in that glorious fellowship with Him.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jeremiah in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 32 through 33 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and watch over you during the week. May your love and commitment to God grow day by day. May we each one consider what we are giving to God and how we give it, that we might render unto God that which is pleasing and acceptable in His sight, of our time, of our service, of our abilities, of our substance. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Through the course of the years, you, our radio listeners, have provided us with valuable feedback as to what has impacted you the most, or what has moved you spiritually in your walk with God. So it's with great pleasure that The Word for Today is pleased to offer you a collection of all-time favorites entitled Pastor Chuck Smith's Most Requested Bible Studies. These messages were selected from thousands of studies that were recorded live at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa over the past 40 years. They represent the very best Bible studies by Pastor Chuck Smith. Every message is dynamic and filled with rich insights as Pastor Chuck expounds upon relevant issues on a variety of topics related to the Christian faith. This series will strengthen and inspire you to diligently study the Word of God and apply it to your life. You can order a copy of Pastor Chuck's most requested Bible studies available on MP3 by calling the Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.